Judas soon declared that he was a total traitor. That kiss of deception, and yet the cue for those that would arrest him to take him by force. Each of the disciples, we know, were scattered as sheep when they saw the Lord taken off. But Peter is the one that bears the mark of awful shame. I think he surprised himself in his own weakness, in his pathetic denial of his own precious Lord, not just once, but three times.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Today we're looking at the message of Peter in his denial. A man who brings great gladness to the heart of the Christian because he went through terrible sadness, and yet he was restored and mightily blessed. That's the message today here in Let the Bible Speak. We have the hymn, "The Blood Shall Never Lose Its Power." Did you know that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was substitutionary? That in Isaiah 53 it says that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you know what that means? We come to the higher purposes of Jesus' sufferings, and we learn here something of what the Father did when he punished his Son. This was the action of sin-bearing, that God the Father exacted upon his Son. Every one of our sins were laid on him. And this is where the Lord became our substitute. Now we rejoice in his substitutionary sufferings. Do we understand substitution? Well, we understand what happens whenever you need a fill-in teacher, one who cannot turn up at the class, perhaps due to illness, and a fill-in teacher or a substitute teacher takes the place, or a substitute in hockey, one who plays in the place of the injured. But in this case, it is a good person filling in for a bad person. It's more like the judge taking the place of the criminal. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he was God the Son, standing in the place of man, the criminal, the offender, who had sinned against God by breaking his law. And in this case, the Son of God came down from heaven, stepped into the cell of the condemned sinner, and went to the cross to pay his sins. He bore the judgment meted out by God the Father that was due to sinners. Notice how Isaiah puts it, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, we need to understand here that substitution was necessary due to the lost state of the sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And it is due to man's sinfulness, his moral evil, turning away from God, that God needed to send a Savior. Not just an example to follow, but a substitute to die in our place and take our actual payment or the debt that was due to sin. And when God punished his Son on that cross, he was doing so for us when he poured out his blood unto death. Now turn with me now to the hymn, "The Blood Shall Never Lose Its Power."
Never lost.
One of the tragedies of the cross is the bleeding heart of Peter. No man has made more Christians sad, and no man has made more Christians glad. On the night of Jesus' arrest, each and every disciple was sifted and sorted. And by Jesus' own prediction, Satan would sift men as wheat, and only the tried and true would pass through. Judas soon declared that he was a total traitor. That kiss of deception, and yet the cue for those that would arrest him to take him by force. Each of the disciples, we know, were scattered as sheep when they saw the Lord taken off. But Peter is the one that bears the mark of awful shame. I think he surprised himself in his own weakness, in his pathetic denial of his own precious Lord, not just once, but three times. No doubt there was a spirit of fear about the high priest's palace that night, as we watch Peter out there in the court, warming himself by the fire, but as scared as a rabbit. He was unable to stand alongside the Lord, which we think he wanted to do. And so he sat around that fire warming himself in the company of the servants with a very noble purpose. If you look at verse 58 in Matthew verse 26, it tells us there that Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants with this noble purpose, to see the end. Peter had not lost his interest in his Lord. Peter had not turned traitor on that night. All that he was seeking to do as he sat warming himself at that fire was, in a sense, very commendable. But soon we find denial number one. As a disciple, duty-bound to give a clear, ringing testimony that he was one who was with Jesus, at the question of a little damsel, a waif of a girl, outpoured from his gruesome lips, "I don't know the man." And then denial number two, a simple maid, she said, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." And Peter denied it. The third was the challenge of the whole group of around that fire. And they said, "For thy speech bereath thee." The more words he uttered, the further into trouble he descended. And then Peter really blew it. And it would appear, in an attempt to save his own skin, he cursed and swore repeatedly. Look at verse 74. "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man." And then the alarm went off in Peter's ears. It was the crow of that rooster. Like a judge's hammer falling, there was the sound of condemnation. Guilty, guilty, guilty. It must have stunned Peter to realize what he'd done. He reduced himself at that point to the lowest ebb of a professing disciple of the Lord Jesus. And all we see now and all we hear now are the bitter cries and weeping of Peter. He went out and wept bitterly. We have to ask, how did Peter get himself into that terrible state? What was the Lord doing with Peter, who had predicted all of this? I think the answer is in the tears that Peter shed. They are holy tears. They are grace tears. And they are God's restorative work in the human soul to make this man a disciple and indeed an apostle in the New Testament. If we leap ahead to the day of Pentecost, we see that it is this same fellow, Peter, who is preaching the lead sermon when thousands are converted. And we're thankful that Peter is front and center of faithful service again. But back in this denial of his Lord, these are grace tears. They are God's sanctifying work in Peter's soul, and they minister to him in his life, and they minister to you and me today as we read this sad, wrenching story of a good man, one of the best, brokenhearted over his own denial. Lest we today should boast as disciples of the Lord and say we would never do that, I think it's necessary that we take a good long look at these tears of Peter. I want to say firstly that Peter's tears came from a long spiral of decline. They weren't just the sudden event in Peter's life. There was a scaling down to these depths if we look at things. And in Mark's account, and I want you to turn to Mark chapter 14, and in Mark's account we see really the seven steps of Peter's decline. Let's begin at Mark 14, verse 29. Mark 14, verse 29. But after that I am arisen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although I shall be all shall be offended, yet will not I. There is Peter's self-confidence. There is Peter saying, now, these other disciples and all those who have named your name, they may be offended over you and ashamed of you, but not me. There is his self-confidence. As if that wasn't bad enough, you'll notice in verse 31, and I'll call this step down number two. Peter's boasting, but he spake the more vehemently, saying, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Now they all chipped in and said the same thing. And yet they were all scattered as sheep when the hour came, so they weren't many that were a whit better. But Peter, the one who took upon himself to make these proud boasting statements, fell the deepest. In verse 37, step number three downward is his unwatchfulness. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, and why Peter? Didn't the Lord know? Yes, he knew. Of all the disciples, Peter could not afford to be asleep in the place of prayer. And he said, Simon, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? On that watch, hell was attacking. On that night, Peter was to be defeated. And we trace it to the lack of prayer and his sleep in prayer. And then step number four, verse 50, his cowardice. It says, they all forsook him and fled. Now, I remember Peter said, even all of these are offended, not I. They all forsook him and fled. Now, Peter hung in, and he wanted to be there to the end. But notice cowardice. Verse 54, Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Peter, the coward. And in that verse 54, you also see that he was among ungodly company. And has this not been the downfall of many of God's people? We are to make friends of God's children. We are to avoid the company of the world where possible. But here Peter is warming his hands at the fire of those servants who are right now the enemies of the Lord. And then in verse 66, you see the outright denial. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And of course, she quizzed Peter a little bit. Now, she had no authority. She was just a girl asking a question. There was no direct threat here upon Peter. But that cowardice, that weakness, just poured right out of him. Verse 68, and he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And of course, the cock crew. And in all three times, Peter denied his Lord. And then verse 72, the weeping itself, we'll call that step number 7, right down to the depths of bitter's task. And of course, we have to ask, what in the world got into Peter? It seemed that he just lowered himself into the shark tank to be devoured by the situation in which he found himself. And this is a great warning to every Christian. Our tears of disappointment do not come from a single incident most times. You cannot trace the bitterness of your soul to just one little thing. So often it is that downward spiral, those steps where it begins, maybe with your own pride, your own unwatchfulness, your over indulgence in worldly things, and then a spirit of fear and weakness creeps into your soul. These are all at work in a downward spiral in the believer's life. In this world, we cannot afford to allow the flesh to dictate our actions. Once we do that, we're in trouble. Let me say that no Christian can afford to do what Peter did, where it says he followed the Lord afar off. And as your pastor this morning, I want to say to you, please come back. Come back. The Lord knew Peter's following afar off. And many of God's people notice it too. Once you were the first, once you were there with zeal, once there was a determination, I'm going to live for the Lord. But there's been a downward spiral, and your seat has been empty so often. And the watchfulness that marked your life, well, the gate is wide open now. And you're in a place of temptation. And as Peter warns us, it will lead to bitter tears. I want to say to you, whatever it is that's stealing you away from the close fellowship of the Savior and His gospel, stop now. Come back. Come back. Get it right, lest we too end up in such bitter tears. I also want to say here that Peter's tears came from a spirit of love and loyalty. These tears were not out of the hardness of Peter's heart, but it was really the mark of the true loyalty that was deep within him. And they are a show of his love for the Lord. His heart was now melted and moved to such pain of heart. They were not just a little temporary facade to try and put on a show for the hour. I don't see that at all. Now, Luke's account of these events open up a scene for us that we need to really get the inside story on. I want you to turn to this, to Luke 22 and verse 61. Luke 22 and verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now somehow in that scenario, when Peter was out in that court, there was a direct line of sight to where the Lord was on the inside under interrogation, being buffeted by the Sanhedrin. And Peter, when the cock crew, when his own heart sank, there was just a second when he caught eye contact with his Lord. And the Lord looked upon Peter. There were no words exchanged, just a look from the Lord. That look must have resonated in Peter's bosom. Peter, 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 oh Peter. I believe that look was a look of controlled empathy. It was the inner emotions of the Savior transferred into the heart of Peter. And that look did something for Peter. It was an inpouring of grace. And while there were no words, I think that look interpreted by Peter was the Lord saying to him, Peter, I feel the pain, but I feel for you. Oh, what a moment that was. And it says in that verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And in an instant, a split second, Peter remembered the word of the Lord. But you know, Peter also realized the Lord's in control here. The Lord knew this. He knew the denial. He knew the cock would crow. He knew it would be me. And he had said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. And this look from the Lord was not the Lord losing faith in Peter, because the Lord had remained true. And that word was a prophetic word. And the memory of those words stirred in Peter the deepest sense of a oneness with Christ. A oneness. Peter, we're still in this together. The Lord did not dump Peter. And in those tears, Peter did not dump the Lord. They were truly in this together. Their relationship was unbreakable through faith. You say, but what faith? Where was Peter's faith? You remember what the Lord said? Peter, Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And so those tears were faith in liquid form, and all the meaning, all the wonder of those tears flowing from Peter's heart.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, and I hope the Lord has spoken a word of help, a word of grace, a word of comfort to your own heart. And above all, may you be led to the cross to know and trust in the Lord Jesus. An atheist who lived in Denver, a man called O.O. Whitenack, made a recording of the things he wanted said at his funeral. After he died, the record was played. His voice was heard to say, "This is my funeral. I have the utmost contempt for this theological nonsense. The Bible and religion have done nothing but spread ignorance and impede the progress of the human race." He continued his attack on religion, the Bible, and Christians. He closed with the simple words, "That's all." But that wasn't all. "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." And it is oh so true that no man can ever say that is the end. One of the greatest problems is that we've been born. And the man that is born, well, he has a soul that will never die. It is better for a man to have never been born than that he should die without a Savior, or die without cleansing in the blood on the work of the cross. And so I appeal to you today to place your faith in Jesus, the Son of God, because after you die, it's not the end. It really only is the beginning of eternity, either in heaven or in hell, either with God or separated from God. And so make sure that you have your faith in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Redeemer, and that your trust is truly in Him. May the Lord minister to your heart, and stay tuned now for these closing announcements.
Welcome to our program today, and you are listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I truly hope that you're blessed each time that you tune into our programs on this station, and my prayer is that God will use His Word to bring precious souls to personal faith in the gospel. We want this to be God's means to building His church and blessing His people. Our burden is to get the gospel out according to the Great Commission, where the Lord has sent His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we don't get too political or too hung up on pressing trends, but seek to preach Christ in all His fullness for men in all their need. Our message is based on the great Reformation sola doctrines of salvation by Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, based on the Bible alone, for the glory of God alone. And you can understand that radio ministry is very much a ministry of faith, as we air programs not knowing who is listening. We therefore need your feedback and comments. You can find us on Facebook at Let the Bible Speak Canada, and there leave us a comment. You can go to our website, ltbs.ca, and send us an email. Or probably best of all, go to our phone number, 604-897-2040, and I will personally take your call. And of course, if you have pastoral needs, I will gladly talk and pray with you. So please get in touch, and we need to know that you're listening and truly benefiting from this ministry on your station at this time. So please go to our church website, ltbs.ca, for all the information, and may the Lord bless you. Until the next time, we let the Bible speak.